and living in King's Lynn, and you may know that from my previous testimony. Part of that process was I had to give up the guy that I was with at that stage because he wasn't, he was pulling away from God, pulling me away from God, and that was what God required. And it was hard for me to do, but I did it. And then I thought, well, I'm on my own. I'm a single 32-year-old doctor, and the prospects for finding a husband was very poor. So I considered actually moving back to South Africa and being with my family and, you know, meeting somebody there. But I did say to God, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit said, stay put. And I said, how long? And God said, 6 months. So I thought, okay, I can do 6 months. And in that 6 months, I went to church in King's Lynn. I met really wonderful people who are still in my life today. And I was offered a partnership at the surgery. And I really got then tied into King's Lynn, got roots down in King's Lynn within those 6 months. I also moved to a place near the walks in town. I bought a house, so so I got really rooted there. And then my friendship with my ex continued because he was a dentist in town. So we saw each other, and it was a platonic friendship then. And I think I secretly hoped that he would become a Christian and, you know, realize that he wanted me and that's how it would end. I believe God could do that. But anyway, so in that time, as us just being friends, we decided we're going to go on a wine and food tasting evening, which was at the end of that year, with all our other friends. And closer to the event, he let me know that, I was informed that he's got a new girlfriend, which was one of my close friends in the past, and that he was taking her. So my dream and prayer of us reuniting was over, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to this event anymore. But one of my colleagues persuaded me to go and be part of it because their neighbors had a friend who was willing to come, and this friend was described as a burly fireman. So I agreed to go, more because of the fireman than because I didn't really want to face my ex. But yeah.
At that time I was a non-Christian. I was in a situation where I was going for a separation from my first wife, and a divorce process was going on. My friends invited me to the same evening, and they said it was a blind date. It was sort of a blind date with this single doctor or someone who was, you know, a doctor and single. But I was just like, all right, okay, it's a bit out of my league. Doctor, you know. wine tasting evening, and I thought to myself, I've never drunk wine, let alone go to a tasting evening. What am I supposed to do there? It was completely and utterly out of my comfort zone, to be honest. But again, I had the same thing as Michelle. I was convinced by my friends to go and just to see what was going to happen, really.
Okay, so I went on the blind date with a feeling of reservation and fear. So I had a few glasses of wine before we even went. So we all went in a minibus taxi, and the taxi picked people up sort of on the way to Morstan Hall, which is on the North Norfolk coast. We picked up Clive from his friends in West Winch. We picked them all up, but that's where they got in. And we sort of went to the event, and we had a good time, lots of laughs and jokes. And I didn't even notice what my ex was doing. I was enjoying the company. I was enjoying Clive's company.
For me, the day of the said event was a little bit different. I realised through the friend of ours that Michelle's ex boyfriend was coming, so I thought, well, this is going to be a really strange situation, you know, going out with this supposedly blind date thing, but the ex was going to be there. I didn't realise at the time he had another partner, so I was a bit all sort of all over the place with that. But lucky enough, when it came to me getting on the minibus, I saw this guy get on the minibus, and he was a little bit shorter than me. He had no hair, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've got a chance here. If this is the sort of chap that this lady likes, then I've got an opportunity. It might be all right. I might be okay. The trouble was that on arrival, we got to the venue, and Michelle said, Mawson Hall, very posh venue. And this guy met us in his dicky bow tie and stood at the door and, oh, can I take your coat? I said, oh, yeah, thank you very much. Took my coat, sort of a maitre d' type guy, walked off. He was 6 foot something with swept back hair, tanned. And we went into this other room and got some drinks. And then this maitre d' came in and joined us, and he stood next to us. I thought, that's a bit strange. The sort of the guy who's looking after my coat is now standing there having a drink with me. Conversation started, and it was actually Michelle's ex-boyfriend. I was like, oh, no. I'm looking at this guy thinking, yep, that's that one out the window. There's no hope for me here. So what that did, obviously, and God's good, isn't he? I mean, what that did was just made me completely relaxed. I didn't have to try and impress this lady. I didn't have to do anything special. I could just be myself, because there was no way that this lady with this 6 foot blonde was going to look at me and think, oh, he's nice. So that just made me calm for the night.
So we had a very relaxed night and lots of fun and laughter, and we really just could be ourselves. And then on the way home, so we had lots of food and drink because it was wine tasting. And on the way home, everybody got dropped off, but Clive stayed on the minibus taxi until the final stop that was outside my house near the walks. And he got, I thought, I wonder where he's going, but he got off. So we were standing awkwardly in the middle of the road, and I thought, I hope he doesn't take the liberties to think that he's now coming to mine. I was quite shocked because he didn't strike me as the pushy type. And so I said, oh, where do you live? And then he was like, oh, just there. And it was literally around the corner, 200 yards away from my house. So I said, well, in that case, do you want to come in for a coffee? Because we still had our friends. I still had my friends with me. They stayed over that night. So I felt safe. And he came in and had a coffee with us. And the next day, there was loud knocking on my door, on the front door. Well, while I was still sleeping, and I was not opening that door. I didn't feel very well because of the previous night. So I just like waited there and waited for it to go away. I had the sense that there was like a big shadow in the street moving, like an Argo struck feeling. But I just went back to sleep. And that evening, my friend, the doctor friend who kind of set us up, she said to me, do you realize that Clive came with his fire truck today, with his fire crew, to come and put smoke alarms into your house? Any excuse. And I was like, oh, no, I didn't want smoke alarms. And then I made a joke. I said, if he was any good a fireman, he would have broken down the door. So anyway, there was definitely a spark between us. And Clive asked me out afterwards. And on the first date, I shared my faith with him, and I found out that he was separated but not yet divorced, that he had 4 sons, and it just sounded to me like a lot of baggage, and I wasn't sure if that was God's plan for me.
Yeah, I just want to jump back to the evening of the party, because Michelle failed to tell you guys that the thing that impressed me most was, as we were sitting there and having fun and just talking about things across the table, Michelle decided to get chocolate and put it in her mouth, cover her teeth with chocolate, and then give me this great big grin with a chocolate teeth, and that was the ceiling thing for me. I thought, yes, doctors are normal. So that was good. But prior to the first date with Michelle, what she just talked about, I was, as we said, a non-Christian. I loved talking to Christians. I love them arguments and debates about religion and all of the stuff that all of you have heard. So I was one of them people who would constantly be a Christian saying, well, oh, you know, religion does this and religion does that. So my friend said to me,
This lady, she's religious. So whatever you do, Clive, on your first date, do not talk about religion, because we know what you're like. So anyway, I walked to the end of the street, Michelle came out and met her. First thing I said was, so you're religious, are you? That started a conversation, which then we walked through the walks to town to go for a meal. And Michelle started to describe to me about a relationship with this God. It wasn't about religion. So everything that I had, all my pre-planned arguments, were diffused straight away, because I've never heard this thing about a relationship with God. How did that work? It just confused me completely.
Yeah, I think I actually said I'm the opposite of religious, because religious is not a word that I like. So in the 2 years before I met Clive, I was hoping and praying that God had Mr. Right for me. I know my family was praying, and people, you know, with prophetic words have told me that there's going to be someone, and it's going to be like a little diamond or piece of gold. You know, when the miner sees it, they know they found their treasure. So I had all this in the back of my mind. But also, there was a scripture that God gave me each and every time. And it was Daughters of Jerusalem from Song of Songs. Do not awaken love until love so desires. And then I would like, but when God? And then do not awaken love. So I then told everybody about Clive, but also about the baggage. And my mum, my best friend Corey, and the pastor Paul, they all said to me, he's not the one. You know, he can't be the one that God's got for you because of his past and because of where we were at. So I believe then that was God's answer, that God said no to a relationship, but I enjoyed his friendship. And so I continued enjoying our friendship, but I didn't want to be unequally yoked, so I kept him at arm's length.
So over the next sort of year to 18 months, what was happening, obviously Michelle had all of this set in her mind that this was a friendship and we enjoyed each other's company, but there was nothing going to happen any further than that. For me as a man and someone who's only just coming into this idea of God and faith, I was thinking every time that we started to see more of each other and do more together, that, oh, this is going somewhere. We're going to have a proper relationship here. So this continued with these ebbs and flows that we had in our relationship, that I'd be getting really excited thinking, oh, yeah, and I'd be saying things like, oh, Michelle, should we do this or should we do that? And eventually she would say, I think we need a break. And then we'd have a break with degree that we wouldn't see each other for 6 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever
weeks.
It was.
It was always 3 weeks.
I think there was one time it was months, but it only lasted a few weeks. And we saw each other and said, should we go out?
And that's the way it worked. In the street.
So there was this ebb and flow constantly in this friendship.
Yeah. From my point of view, it was, I wanted the friendship, but I didn't want it to feel like it's getting romantic, because I thought God made up his mind about that. So I thought I perhaps should be looking for another husband, because, this perfect person that God's got for me. Oh, yes, and I had a list. And I had a list of, there was quite a few things on the list that I knew was impossible, like tall. I thought maybe a South African person, because that would be, you know, culturally a match. I knew in Kingsland that was not going to happen. I wanted somebody who's good at DIY, because I'm rubbish at it. I wanted somebody, the first thing on my list was somebody who loves God more than he loves me. That was very important, because I knew that if anything goes wrong in our relationship, then he would go to God, and God will send him back to me, because that's God's will, is that husbands should love their wives. So I always had that desire. And I was worried that Clive would go to church or become a Christian because of me. And I didn't want that. So I always was in two minds. I wanted his friendship and I wanted all of that, but I wanted him to want God more than me.
So why this was going on, obviously with me, the curiosity about God and the things that Michelle was sharing with me started to affect me as they do. The seeds were sown and the roots were starting to take hold. So Michelle also said to me, it would be good to go to church. Which, fine, go to church. I said, I'll give that a go. That seemed like the right thing to do. So the first church service I went to was... It was an evening midweek prayer meeting. So here I am, not really giving my life over to the Lord, just thinking about God, and I turn up at this event where, hello, come in. Right, we're going to break down into small groups and we're going to pray for these different things. Find what you want to pray for and go and stand in a group. So I'm like, what on earth is this? So I walk over to this group, because I had to do that, obviously. We sit in a circle, lovely circle, and everybody starts, thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you, Lord, for that, and going around the circle praying for this thing. And it gets to me, and I'm like, get me out of here. If anything else, get me out of here, please. And obviously, there's a minute of silence where I don't say anything, and then it moves around and then goes back into prayer from other people. At the end of the evening, I said to Michelle, it's very good, but it's not for me. I won't be coming back here again. Thank you very much.
Okay. So I left it, and I went on holiday with my mum to Mexico. And I was there for a couple of weeks, and I got a text from Clive saying, oh, I've been to your church for a Sunday service. And I thought, oh, that's good. But he didn't go because of me. He just went to check it out. And after that, he became a regular attender. And so we would walk to church together through the walks, because that was our route into town. And we would talk about spiritual matters, and everything was fine then. As soon as I thought he was becoming more romantic, I would, push him away again. And I didn't want to go against what God has said and what those three people in my life have said. But Clive got more involved with church and more involved with the prayer meetings, which he said he would never go to again. And actually, he started to go to all the prayer meetings. We went to lots of prayer meetings that I didn't go to. And, my respect for him grew. And he finalized his divorce. And I met the boys. And the baggage just didn't seem so much of an issue anymore.
I say, with that time again, what really happened was there's two major things that happened for me. One was an experience I had with... the Holy Spirit, and I don't often share this because sometimes people think it's a bit sort of out there or freaky, but I was actually laying on my bed and I just had this real sense of something just over my whole body, and as I breathed in, this sense of, I can't really explain it now, but it just grew and grew and grew, and I had to think to myself, am I actually awake, or is this just I'm dreaming? And as I just didn't want to stop breathing in, because this thing was getting stronger and stronger, and then I had that whole sense of a light in the room that was brighter than anything you could imagine, but you could still look at it, and I was so excited. I got up and I texted Michelle, I think I texted her, or I might have even rung her and said, you never guess what happened, this thing happened to me, and what is it? And she went, oh yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's like, what? And so that was another thing that sort of led me into this, well, I need to find out what this is. But I knew in myself, the same as Michelle did, that there was no good me going to church with Michelle, because there was an attraction. There's no good me going there thinking, oh, I can go because Michelle's there, I can sit next to her and I'll be there. I had to go and find out what this church thing was really about. So that's when I stepped out and said to myself, right, Michelle's going away for three or 4 weeks, was it?
Yeah, 2 weeks, I think.
I think you're away from,
Or three, maybe.
Away from church. And I went there and I just sat there and I thought, well, what is this about? What are people doing? And as I looked around, this worship was going on, and there was people with their hands in there just, worshipping the Lord. And it just gave me that sense, and I think I shared this the other week, that, people were more interested in God than they were in the people around them. And that really, really spoke to me. That really opened me up to realize that this is not about the people, it's about the relationship with God. And that's why I could dive into all the other things and find out what it was all about, go to the prayer meetings, jump into organised things that didn't have my name on, and just take part in them. And it just continued. That's where we got to. Where am I? Sorry.
I was
going
to say about the relationship not having...
Yeah. And say, although my relationship with God was increasing, I realised the relationship with Michelle was not going to go anywhere. It didn't look like it was heading anywhere. I'd had these periods of disappointment. And within my prayers at that time, God clearly said to me, I want you to stay close to Michelle. He said, I want you to stay close. And I thought, what does that mean? And he said, I'm not saying that this is going to work out and that you're going to come together, but I want you to stay close. And I thought, well, how can I express this to Michelle? Well, how do I say this to Michelle? Because it sounds a bit funny. It sounds like I'm trying to push myself on her. So I did tell her. I said to her, God told me that he wants me to stay close to you. But it's not about the relationship. She went, oh, well, I don't know about where she went, she'll tell you. But it went down like a lead balloon.
So I wasn't impressed that a neighbor man wanted to stay close to me. If God was having somebody else in mind for me, I thought I was perfectly capable of looking after myself. And I was worried that if there's somebody, you know, with me all the time, that will put off the Mr. Right person that God is going to send to me. I still like Clive more and more now that he was a Christian. And I got the message from God still not to awaken love until it's so desired. So I was still looking around not to miss out on what God had for me. But there was one thing that I always told God, because I was now getting into my mid to later 30s, and I said, God, I don't want to look old on my wedding photos. Please, you know, send him so that I don't look old on my wedding photos. And we brought our album. It's over there if you want to have a look later. You can judge for yourself how old I look. And so I went on a Christian dating website, and I met somebody that looked interesting. So I thought, but when I went on a date, it was a very dull and boring date / man.
So just prior to Michelle's blind date, we were on a peak, a rise up. We were getting, you know, our relationship was coming close again. We were doing lots of things together. So I stepped out and I said, Michelle, the fire service have got, I think it was a Christmas do. I said, would you like to come along with me? Yes, she said, that'd be lovely. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah.
Just because I like parties.
Yeah, things are looking up. And I was getting quite excited about it. She said during the evening, she said, oh, I'd really like you to come back to mine afterwards because there's something I need to talk to you about. So again, I was like, yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This relationship, at last she's going to commit to our relationship. So she did talk about our relationship when we got round there. She told me that she was going on a blind date with someone else. So obviously for me, it was just, you know, you was on the peak. And then suddenly you're right down the bottom of the valley again. So, you know, I had to go back to the Lord. I was upset and sad. And, Michelle went on a blind date.
Yeah,
thankfully.
That was a boring one.
Thankfully, it was boring.
I was completely unaware of how my actions and attitudes were affecting Clive. I just thought he was the handy pal next door. I was still looking for this possible Mr. Right, but my friendship with Clive was becoming closer because of his rock-solid presence and reliability in my life, which is what God told him to do, was to stay close, and, you know, he was always there to help me out no matter what. I also heard from my mum and from my friend Corey that they said, when you speak about him, you sound different. Do you think that he could be the one? Because he's changed a lot. I mean, you got baptized and everything sort of in the meantime. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, it could be. I hope so. But Paul hasn't said anything yet. And, you know, does God change his mind? And if he does, I need that confirmation. I also, then I started to hear from God. It was actually Sandro, because he done these prayer sessions, and we were reading, I think you sent us this scripture to read. It was out of Isaiah, and it was awake, awake, awake. And it was more about to awake and pray and stuff, but God was saying to me, awake is awake love. It's time for love to awake. Where am I now? Yes, all right. So, in that time, I met a guy in London at a church, a Kiwi guy called Martin, and he was really interested. I could see that, and he asked for my phone number, and he started to get in contact with me and email me regularly. And he wanted me to come to London and go on a proper date. And So I wanted to wait until the next year, but he was like, no, I wanted to, you know, I want to see you. So I thought, okay, I'll go on this date. I said to Clive then, because we were texting and talking almost every day, and I said to him, I'm going down to London to meet this Martin guy, because in the back of my head, it's now time to awaken love, and there's this guy, and so I thought, I'll just go with it. Okay.
This was almost a year after the previous time that I took Michelle out. And so it was almost a year on. And funny enough, I'd already asked Michelle whether she wanted to go to another fire service function, which she said yes. And again, I was on this rise up the mountain again, thinking, well, it's been nearly a year since the last time. She hasn't found anyone else. I'm looking forward to the evening again. During the evening, a couple of my friends' colleagues' wives come up to me and said, you know, Michelle really, really likes you, don't you? I said, well, I don't know. But they said, yeah, she's been speaking to us.
I do.
She really, really likes you. So I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you. And then Michelle decided during that night to say to me, Clive, would you like to come back to mine after the event? I've got something to talk to you about. And I was like, yes, again. Yes, it's great. And that's when she told me that she was going on the blind date with Martin.
A date.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not a blind date, sorry, okay. Just a date. Yeah, where was I? On receiving that, yeah, she was going on another date. Again, I was completely devastated. And we were getting on so much better again, and we got even beyond the peak that I reached last time. And I really felt in the spirit, but this time I needed to say to her that, you know, if this guy is the right guy, our relationship as it is can't continue, because no guy wants someone so close to you, you know, a friendship that close. No guy is going to appreciate that. So our friendship is going to have to go.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I went home that night, and what I did is I surrendered Michelle and the future completely to the Lord. And that's easy to say, but many of us I know will say, oh Lord, this is up to you, this is yours. And I'd done it through the prior 2 and a bit years. I'd said on many occasions, God, I've got to give this to you, but always pulled it back. Every time that we had some good times together, I'd pull it back and say, I can make this relationship work. But this time I knew that it was every part of me. It was my soul, my spirit, my heart, my head. I'd all said, Lord, that's it. And it was made up. In my mind, I'd given it to God, and it was completely down to him.
Okay, so the night before the date, I had to go on a Wednesday because that's my only day off of work, and all the weekends were booked up. So on the Tuesday night, I had this dream that I was looking for Clive, and I would hear him behind the door, and then I would go and try and open the door and unlock the door, and when I open the door, he's not there. And then I would run down the street and look into houses to find him, and I just couldn't find him, and it really kind of distressed me. So I woke up the next morning and I thought, that story is in Song of Songs, where she is looking for her lover and she hear him but she just can't reach him. And I thought, oh my goodness, God is revealing something here to me. But I still had this date in London. So, and then I was going out and we were going to see a show, and I would only come back on a late train, which then terminates at Ely. So what I had to do was early in the morning drive to Ely so that I could drive myself back at 1 in the morning. And Clive rang me that morning. He said, do you want to go on the train? Because I was just a few yards walk from the train station. So I said, no, I've got to drive back from Ely. He said, don't worry, I'll come and pick you up. You know, just a friend and the rock that he is. And I thought, wow, he just told me the other night that our friendship will be over if this is the man for me, yet he is willing to come and pick me up from this date and drive me home. So, so I was very appreciative, and then I went on this date, and it was a good day, but I missed Clive terribly the whole day. It was just like this big hole in my heart, and I thought, I shouldn't be with Martin, Clive should be here with me. And I talked about him all the time. And this guy actually made like a bit of a sarcastic joke. He said, why don't you just marry him? And I thought, maybe I should. And it was late when, obviously, I got on the train. And the first thing I did was text Clive and say, you have no idea how much I missed you today. And then he sent one back. You have no idea how glad I am to hear that. And when I got to Ely, I got off the train and he was standing there on the platform. And it was the first time I just like ran to him and gave him his first unreserved hug. Because we never touched. So I just gave him a very big hug. And we got into his car and we talked and talked.
On the evening of Michelle's time in London, there was a meeting at church. So I went along to the meeting and just spent the time there. And after the meeting, I came out into the car park to get my car, to walk through the car park to go home. And the pastor come running out after me. Well, if any of you know Paul Randerson, he doesn't come running out after anybody, okay? And which was a shock in itself, come out shouting my name, Clive. I was turning around, yeah. And he said, when you first started to come to church with Michelle, he said, I had a picture of you two together, but you were facing apart. You were both facing in different directions. And he said, but just recently, I keep getting this picture of you turned together, facing each other. He said, I think it's time that you knock on that door again. So then I had to say to Paul, I said, Paul, thank you for that. I said, but I've given it over to the Lord. This is all about the Lord now. I'm not going to make any more moves or try and create anything. It's got to be God, and that's how I left it.
Yes, but in the car on the way back, Clive did tell me, because then it all came from me, didn't it? I was like, oh, I miss you, and you kind of, not do you still want me, but that's how I felt, because my heart really was just, wanting Clive. And so he told me the story about Paul, who said, you need to go knock on that door again. And that was the third person. And I thought, this is God now. God has now confirmed to me that now, after the 3 years, Clive is the Mr. Right for me. And I think it's because we both have had to go through a lot of change before we were.
Yeah, just on that point as well, though, the three people that Michelle needs to hear from, I didn't know anything about that. It was nothing, she'd never ever told me there was three people who said that we weren't to be together, so.
Yes, but so that was the third one, and it all then fell into place.
Am I aware of that? Oh yeah, so on that journey home, during this conversation, the year before, the first time that Michelle had told me she was meeting someone, after that event and it didn't work out, I'd said to myself that if Michelle is actually single this time next year, I'm going to ask her to marry me. So obviously after the fact that she was going on the date with Martin, that sort of scuppered that a little bit, but I told her the story and said that that's what I had already said to the Lord.
So he said this to me that night, coming back from London. He said, I told myself, come next year this time, if you're not with someone, I'm going to ask you to marry me. And I just thought, oh, we were platonic friends the day before. And now he said the word, and I thought, this is completely out of my hands anyway. Things just started to change and move quickly. So I wrote that night in my diary. I wrote about the day's happenings, about Clive, and I said, I think I found my diamond. And I then wrote, oh, Lord, I said, the next thing is going to be a ring. Lord, let it be beautiful. This one. I have to write this down, because if I don't see it black on white, I will change my mind, or I may change my mind. So I wrote it down, because it was like God said, this is happening. And so that was the last entry in my diary. And the next night, Clive was invited out to dinner with church friends. And the day after that was his birthday. So I said to him, come to me after you've finished dinner with it was John Claxton and them. And then I will give you your birthday present when it's midnight. So I had a book by Derek Prince, Love is a Decision. It's ironic. And I had the book and a card, and so he came, and when it was midnight, I gave him the present, I gave him a kiss. Again, that was one of the first times I, you know, we were like sort of in any physical contact, and I had a big smile on my face, and then he said, "Oh, I've got a present for you." And I said, "Oh." And then he had a little box, and he like flipped open the box, and I saw the ring, and I was like, "Ah!" And I screamed, and I ran upstairs.
Wasn't quite the reaction I was expecting. Show someone a ring, and they scream and run away.
But she did come back downstairs, and she brought a diary with her.
I showed him the entry in my diary that said about the ring, and that you know, I have to write it down, and that you know, I said, "This is God's decision for me." And I said yes, because this was the right person and the right timing. And
If you remember back, Michelle's friend said if he was any sort of fireman, he'd break the door
I said
down.
That.
Yeah, Michelle said that. Then it took me 3 years, but I did break the door down.
Yeah, he said that. When I said yes, he said it took me 3 years to break the door down. So then the wedding arrangements then started to happen very fast. We've got three stones in the ring. We had three weddings, or three ceremonies, 3 weeks apart. And it's a significant number. I emailed Martin to say that I was marrying Clive. And he acted like as a catalyst to that. And I got a very sarcastic email back from him stating that he, you know, he has had dated women before who married other men, but never the next day.
Yeah, the as Michelle said, the three has come up throughout our marriage and everything else, really. And it was the three diamonds in the ring that wasn't planned, obviously. The three weddings and the 3 weeks apart. And the first one was the registry office, which we class as the legal part of the wedding. And then the next bit was going to be in South Africa, followed by a blessing in King's Lynn. One thing we've laughed about, and I don't know whether I should share it or not, but now I've said I'm going to. Michelle said no. But we're family, so we should be able to share. So after the registry office, I had to take Michelle down to the airport because she was flying straight out to South Africa. She asked me on two or three occasions, "Stop the car because we haven't consummated the marriage yet." We didn't. We didn't stop the car, and I knew that she was only
joking.
So I just
wanted to test his perseverance.
Well, we talked about it last night. We laughed, and Michelle never thought I was going to say it, but I did.
Okay, so we went. So we went to the airport that very same day, just after the registry office, for me to have 3 weeks in South Africa to prepare for the wedding there. So at the airport, Heathrow Terminal 3, I had my wedding dress, like, you know, the whole thing in the cover, because they hang it up on the plane. You don't put it in your suitcase, apparently. So I was walking on the airport with my wedding dress in one hand, and my husband holding my other hand, and I saw Martin with another guy. And I said to Clive, "This is definitely him." And I was like, "How on earth? Why?" You know, I said there, and Clive said, "We need to go and talk to him. I want to go and talk to him. I want to go and thank him." And because he was one of the reasons it all came together so quickly. And I felt very awkward with my wedding dress and my husband to go and talk to Martin. But he was there just to drop off his friend, whose mum was dying. He's a Kiwi guy, so his friend was going to New Zealand. I was going to South Africa. Clive came to drop me off, and it was about an hour, you know, where that could have happened. So God brought that together as an appointment as well, because Clive just shook his hand and looked in his eyes and thanked him, and Martin had a big smile, and I think God orchestrated it because that forgiveness was needed, because he was hurt, you know, by the way I treated, well, I kind of it's almost like I used him. I didn't, but that was something that that God cleared for us as well.
So that was really most of the story. The thing I wanted to bring in, Andrew's mentioned a few times about when I came into church and I said, "Can we wash people's feet?" Well, this really stemmed from obviously the word where it says that Jesus said that, "Do this to each other. You know, it clearly says that in the word that we should wash each other's feet. It's not something we do very often, but if you take everything else that Jesus says and we do it, then perhaps we should consider that. But that's where I said that, Michelle, part of our ceremony is going to be to wash each other's feet, which we did in the ceremony. I think
that's in the book. Yes. Okay. And oh yeah, so the number three was on the third wedding, which was a blessing in King's Lynn. We had a wedding cake, and on the wedding cake there was a little Bible, just a scripture that says about a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. But it was also the message, and you've got it there. Yeah, is it Ecclesiastes? Yes. So it just, you know, that's what still is really important to us when we pray, that we would, that God will always be at the center, and as we coil around Him, we get closer together. And I want to say what you've learned.
Yeah, I think for the moral of all this story for me certainly is the surrender. You know, it's the surrender to God with these things that are going on in our lives, all the things that are going on in our lives. When we surrender them completely, and I've said this to many people on many occasions, there's a difference between surrendering and then starting to pull it back, and there's a difference when you surrender it completely, and you'll know the difference. You know, when you just say, that is it, Lord. I mean, I had a conversation with someone this morning, and I said that God will take us to that point where it's just before, it's more than we can bear, because the word says, I will take you no further than you can bear. And when you get to that point, just before that, it's more than I can bear, if you surrender, that's when God comes in. He comes in such a big way. This whole thing stemmed on that one surrender for me. The next day, I was proposing to my wife. The next day, I surrendered it. It was just amazing.
And for me, it was about, believing God's word and being patient. And because in my head, I could not work out what was happening. But with the leading of this, the word and the Holy Spirit, it all happened. Oh God, a beautiful husband.